Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
An embattled sheriff already serving jail time pleads guilty to four additional charges. We're live with a story you'll see only on WRAL. Elizabeth?
Two systems could bring us rain in the next few days. One moving up from the Gulf for this evening and tomorrow morning. And then another one that could affect your weekend plans. I'll walk through both of these on FutureCast.
Plus, the rides are in place. The games are set. Now all we need to do is inspect the food vendors. We'll take you live to the state fairgrounds, where health inspectors are making sure the treats are safe to eat.
Former Granville County Sheriff, already serving prison time for falsifying training records, will spend even more time behind bars. Brindell Wilkins pleaded guilty today to four additional felonies and two misdemeanors. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. These charges pertain to more issues with records and a murder-for-hire plot of a former deputy. WRAL's camera was the only one in the courtroom when this unfolded. WRAL Investigates Sarah Kruger joins us live outside the courthouse to tell us what happened. Sarah.
Renee, Wilkins was supposed to get out of prison about a year from now, in September 2024. Now it will be even longer than that. A judge here today in this courthouse handed down another active sentence.
What they always say is, with great power comes great responsibility. It's just when you go out here and plot to have someone killed, that's the issue. That is big.
On the misdemeanor charges, Wilkins will serve anywhere from 6 to 17 months concurrent with his existing sentence. On the felonies, the murder for hire plot, 8 to 19 more months after the misdemeanor sentence is over. Wilkins is accused of plotting to kill a former deputy, and that plot was captured on audio recording. Prosecutors say he wanted to kill him because he thought that deputy had a recording of him making racist comments. Wilkins has a number of supporters standing by him.
The main thing, I think, they can't vote Brent out. If this stuff had not happened, Brent would be the sheriff until the day he died. He could get elected back today.
And these supporters filled the courtroom, several rows worth of them. The judge even commented on how he had never seen so much support. Wilkins was elected three times here in Granville County, serving until 2019 when the allegations came out. And just to give you another sense of the popularity that he still has in this county, there was a line out the door here at the courthouse this morning of supporters waiting to file in. We were even getting some calls and emails into the newsroom about it.
Sarah Kruger reporting live outside the Granville County Courthouse. Thank you.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we're following an update out of Henderson. Right now, we know that officers responded to Keene Street last night, apartment C in Henderson, for an initial call of an unresponsive person. When they arrived, police say they spoke with a family member who had not seen one of the residents since Sunday. A family member says they had to remove the air conditioning unit from the window just to gain access into that apartment. The residents there, Josephine Taylor and Laura Taylor, and a non-resident, Bakariak Leonard, were all found dead inside that home. Preliminary results did not indicate any physical assaults or any injuries to any of the individuals. This is an ongoing investigation. As soon as we learn more, we'll let you know.
Michelle, thanks. Cloudy skies will become moving into a part of our viewing area this afternoon. Some of us could see some light rain this evening. And Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at that timeline and how long some of this much needed rain will last.
We're seeing a lot of this rain moving up out of the Gulf of Mexico. This was a system that we've been talking about for the last couple of days. At one point, the National Hurricane Center was looking at it for some tropical development, and it does not look like it's going to become a tropical system, but it is going to bring some heavy rain to parts of the deep south. The northern end of it is going to brush by our part of North Carolina, so we're not going to get into the heaviest rain. We are starting to see the clouds really thicken up. You can see here on our high-resolution satellite a few holes in the clouds, but those clouds are really thickening up ahead of the system. We take a look at FutureCast and roll it on ahead. By this evening at 5 o'clock, by the evening commute, you can see some rain here. The first bit of rain that moves through may all evaporate because we have dry air in place right now. If anything, during the evening commute, there might be just a few sprinkles, but as we go through time overnight, we see more of that lifting northward. If you're going to be headed to the Canes home opener, there could be some light rain as you're coming out of the stadium. And then first thing tomorrow morning, we'll likely have some showers from the Triangle area southward. And then, of course, a lot of folks headed to the fair tomorrow. We're going to see this moving out pretty quickly, and we should see some sunshine by lunchtime. As we take a look at Friday, this moves well away from us, and Friday looks like a nice dry day for the most part. Late Friday night, a little disturbance slides in, but it's not likely to bring us rain until very early in the morning on Saturday along that warm front, followed by a cold front that will keep that potential for rain going as we get through the evening. Now, we may be able to fine-tune that forecast for you in the next 24 hours when we get the short-range models in, that high-resolution data. I'll get it to you as soon as we have it. Thursday looks fine at the fair. We're going to see increasing sunshine in the afternoon, 77 right now during the day. Friday and even into the evening looks dry, 78. But Saturday could be a relatively wet day with a high of 78 degrees. We're going to be talking more about the evolution of these two systems coming up.
Elizabeth, thank you. Now to the war between Israel and Hamas. Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu and opposition leader Benny Gantz have agreed to form a war cabinet and emergency unity government. This as Israel says its fighter jets struck 450 Hamas targets in northern Gaza in the past 24 hours. At least 2,200 people have been killed in the past 5 days, including more than 1,000 people in Gaza. The European Union is now calling for a humanitarian corridor to be opened up between Gaza and one of the border crossings in the south to Egypt. House Republicans are meeting behind closed doors to pick a nominee to be the next speaker. Right now, neither House Majority Leader Steve Scalise nor Representative Jim Jordan have locked down 217 votes. That's the necessary number to be elected speaker by a majority vote of the full chamber. Until a speaker is elected, the House remains effectively paralyzed.
Raleigh police say alcohol was likely a factor in a head-on collision. It happened just after 3 this morning in the westbound lanes of I-540 near Lumley Road. Officers say a driver crashed into a vehicle while going the wrong way. The driver, who was headed in the right direction, was injured but is expected to recover. No word on charges at this time. The mother of a 4-year-old girl who was the subject of a statewide Amber Alert is sharing her side of the story. Little 4-year-old Paisley was abducted by her father, Mitchell Grayson, from a Durham apartment on Saturday. Police say he also assaulted an adult in the process of taking her. Candace Oldham says Grayson has a history of violence and hopes he can one day be in their daughter's life, but not until he gets help.
The Durham mayoral race is down to 2 candidates for next month's general election. Current city council member Leonardo Williams and current state senator Mike Woodard will square off on November 7th. With 98% of the precincts reporting, Williams got 51% of the votes. Woodard received 29%. Williams or Woodard will replace outgoing Mayor Elaine O'Neill, who did not run for re-election. In Fayetteville, people voted for who will be on the ballot for mayor. WRAL called the race before 11 last night. Incumbent Mitch Colvin took more than 60% of the vote. He and Freddie De La Cruz will move on to the general election.
Out at RDU International, there's a groundbreaking happening on a 2-mile runway that will replace the airport's primary runway. The existing 10,000-foot runway was built in the 1980s. It needs to be replaced after nearly 4 decades of use. Since 2019, RDU has been replacing slabs of concrete as they show signs of wear and tear. The relocated runway is right about 500 feet away from the runway now. Now, it will make room for a future addition of more gates as well at Terminal 2. It's expected to be complete by 2028. Powerball fever is spreading across the country. Tonight, the second largest jackpot in the game's history is up for grabs. As of right now, it's more than $1.7 billion. Your odds of winning are about 1 in 292 million. If you do get lucky, you could take home nearly $760 million in the cash payout. Tune in tonight to watch the live drawing right here on WRAL.
The excitement is building. Get ready for the best day ever. We're less than 24 hours away from the start of this year's state fair. Today, health inspectors are examining the food vendors, and we are live on the Midway where those checks are now underway. Julian Grace reporting live from the state fairgrounds. And Julian, are you getting to sample test some of the food?
No, not able to do that just yet, Renee. But I can tell you, what a gorgeous day for food inspections. But first, let's talk numbers. Currently, there are 150 food vendors out here and 12 inspectors. And all of those food vendors are going for this right here, the gold coveted permit right there. That permit allows the food vendors to serve the general public. Now, we watched as food vendors went from station to station, checking everything from water temperature, sink placement, and even food storage. Now, a lot of the vendors, they were excited to make sure they're complying with all the rules and regulations so they can open on time. We can also tell you that many of the food inspectors started at 8 o'clock this morning, making their rounds, and they'll wrap up at 5 o'clock tonight. Now, one of the big questions out there, though, what happens if one of the food vendors fails? Well, this is what happens. We're told that they will not be able to open their stand until they get the problem fixed. Once they get the problem fixed, they will get that gold permit, and then they can open to serve the public. I did ask how many food vendors have failed so far. Right now, that number is at zero. We are hoping that it will stay that way. Later tonight at 4 and 5 o'clock, we talk to some of the food vendors and also the inspectors, and we get a close view on exactly what they're looking for. Renee?
Hope they all get that stamp of approval. I'm already mapping out my food stops. You know, got to pace myself there at the state fair. Julian Grace, good to see you. Don't forget to stop by the WREL booth when you visit the fair. Look for our tent on the northeast side of Dorner Arena facing Restaurant Row. It's our traditional spot. Tomorrow, Mike Mays and Kelly Arthur will be there from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. Then on Friday, Jeff and I will be there from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. And Lena and Dan will be there later on Friday from 2 until 3 p.m. You can find a full list on WREL.com. Just search fair.
Next at noon, an SUV stalled on railroad tracks in Kentucky with a train approaching. How disaster was avoided.
Also sounding the siren at PNC, it is the Hurricanes home opener tonight. How this year's team is the talk of the NHL.
Plus, in the midst of the United Auto Workers strike, at 12:30, the new concern electric vehicles pose to the workers' future.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Deliberations resume today in the trial of two Colorado police officers charged in connection with the 2019 death of Elijah McClain. The officers say they were responding to a call about a suspicious person wearing a ski mask. McClain was walking home from a convenience store carrying a plastic bag with iced tea in it. Body cam video shows officers wrestling McClain to the ground and putting him in a restraining hold. Paramedics later injected him with a powerful sedative, and he suffered a heart attack. McClain died 3 days later. Attorneys for the former Camp Lejeune Marine accused of killing a homeless street artist on a New York subway want the judge to dismiss the case now. In May, Daniel Penny held Jordan Neely in a chokehold after Neely started acting erratically, but he had not attacked anyone. A medical examiner ruled Neely's death a homicide. The district attorney's office is expected to file a response soon. Penny's next court date is set for early December.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, former NFL star Sergio Brown, whose mother was found dead outside her Chicago area home, has been taken into custody by authorities in connection to her death. Brown had traveled to Mexico. He was deported yesterday and taken into custody by U.S. law enforcement. Police are now working to transfer him back to Chicago. Authorities discovered the body of 73-year-old Myrtle Brown last month after relatives alerted police that she was missing. The medical examiner's office said that Myrtle Brown died from her injuries related to an assault, and it was ruled a homicide. Again, Sergio Brown arrested in connection to his mother's death.
A Chicago Cubs security guard is recovering after a hazmat situation at the team's offices near Wrigley Field. The security guard opened a package and had an allergic reaction to a substance inside. Chicago Fire and police responded to the scene. The bomb squad checked out the package, but no word on exactly what that substance was, and it's unknown what else was in the package. The U.S. Coast Guard has recovered the remaining debris from the Titan submersible catastrophe. The evidence, which contains what's believed to be human remains, will be analyzed as part of the ongoing investigation. The submersible imploded during a tour of the Titanic in June, killing all five passengers. OceanGate, the company that owned the submersible, suspended operations after the disaster.
A 104-year-old woman who soared into the record books after completing a skydiving dream has died. We first reported this story last week. Dorothy Hoffner completed a tandem jump outside of Chicago, and once on the ground, she called the experience peaceful. Hoffner died in her sleep this week at her senior living community. Friends say they'll remember her amazing energy and positive attitude. Heart-pounding moments in Kentucky after an SUV stalled right on the railroad tracks there as a train was approaching. Video shows the car come to a stop, puts on the hazard lights as that train is coming. You can see it behind there in the distance. At one point, a child gets out of that SUV. The driver gets out, tries to push, and then a group of people see what's going on there, and they run out and help her push the car away. The conductor was able to bring that train to a halt. Everyone, thankfully, was okay, but understandably shaken.
It is a big day for Caniacs. Get out your red, black, and white because the Hurricanes are hitting the ice tonight. WRL's Laura Levine explains all that we need to look for during the team's season opener tonight at home at PNC.
The Carolina Hurricanes are back. They will face off the Ottawa Senators here at PNC Arena tonight. We're going to see those Caniacs walk through these doors ready for the big game. Last year's run ended in the Eastern Conference Final against Florida. So there is a lot of excitement for the start of the season tonight with all eyes on the Stanley Cup. Hurricanes reached the playoffs for the fifth consecutive year, with the last three coming as a division champion. Taking a look at players to watch, Andrei Shvechnikov will begin the season on injured reserve as he continues to work his way back from the ACL injury he suffered in March. And Jordan Martinook made his way to Raleigh at the beginning of this current playoff run for the Carolina Hurricanes. His first season, the Canes were swept by the Bruins when they weren't even expected to be there. Now at the beginning of this season, the Canes are favored to finish the season as Stanley Cup champions by Caesars Sportsbooks at 15-2. Martinook says he is thrilled to start the journey to the Cup because of the Caniacs.
They show up every night, I feel like now, and home opener, playoffs, it feels like it's always a little extra. So they're going to be out in full force tomorrow, and love to see them, love to hear them. It sucks. Every the start of the year, we get a taste of it for one game, and then they ship us on the road. But then when they're excited for us to come back.
And fans are excited to see them back here tonight. The puck drops at 7 o'clock, and don't worry, tickets are still available. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
We will have live team coverage before and after the game. Our sports crews have you covered. The puck drops at 7 p.m.
And when you get to the arena to see the Canes this season, you will notice some new food items on the menu. PNC is serving up three new local options. Barbecue Lab, Gonza Tacos and Tequila, and the Optimist Coffee House are ready to help fuel you for every game. You now have more than 12 food and drink options. And look at this, a self-serve candy station is also in the works. It's a tasty way to do it at the arena. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Before it gets too cold for that ice, we're going to talk about some of the rain coming in.
Yeah, and there may be some folks who are hoping to tailgate before the game. Of course, you may be wondering, oh, is all this rain going to get here? Well, most likely by tailgating time, there might be a sprinkle or two, but temperatures will be mild. It's not going to be very sunny, but it should be okay to be out tailgating. We'll walk through Futurecast again. We'll see increasing clouds, and I know you're looking at this band of rain that shows up here at around 5 o'clock, but we have a very dry air mass in place right now, so this first round may mostly evaporate. If we see anything, it would likely be just a little bit of light patchy rain at the time when folks are headed in to the arena. Now, coming out of the arena, there's a better chance that some of that rain is making it to the ground. It is still likely to be fairly light. So if you're lucky and you get to park fairly close to the door, I wouldn't maybe worry too much about a raincoat or an umbrella. None of this rain is likely to be terribly heavy, except maybe a little closer to the South Carolina line around, say, 6 to 8 a.m. You can see some yellow beginning to crop up there. But from the Triangle area northward, what we end up seeing is going to be pretty light out of this whole system. It all moves on out right around lunchtime, just in time for the State Fair gates to open at noon, and the rest of the day looks just fine. So for the Hurricanes game at around 6 o'clock as you're arriving at the arena, it'll be cloudy. There might be just a tiny sprinkle or two, but heading out of the game around 9 or 10 o'clock, there's a better chance that we could see some patchy light rain. Temperatures will be in the low 60s at that point. Fair 4 forecast for tomorrow. Looking at some sunshine breaking out around lunchtime, 2 o'clock. Temperatures in the upper 70s with sunshine for the rest of the day. There's some discrepancy in the models about when we might see some rain on Friday. Right now, it really looks like it would be pretty late in the evening and that Friday looks pretty good. We talked about that at the beginning of the newscast. We take a look outside. Well, we do have some cloud cover here in Southern Pines. We're looking at Southern Pines and our southern counties being the areas that will have the best chance of seeing some of this light rain overnight and early tomorrow morning. It's already 71, so feeling pretty comfortable. 74 will be the high later on this afternoon. Right now it's 73 in Fayetteville, 64 in Roxborough, 72 Rocky Mount, 73 in Southern Pines. These temperatures are running a little bit warmer than yesterday, but maybe not enough to notice the difference, anywhere from about 2 to 4 degrees warmer than noon yesterday. 74 for the high in Raleigh, 73 in Durham, and 77 in Fayetteville. 75 is our normal high, so we're very close to that all the way through Saturday. But we are looking at some more unsettled weather toward the end of the week and the beginning of the weekend. Once Saturday's front comes through, we're going to see a big drop in our temperature. The brown color contoured area is going to be at or a little above normal, and then the chilly air drops in below normal starting on Sunday into Monday, and it looks like that could be with us all of next week, all the way into the following weekend, the 21st, where we're looking at the potential for below normal temperatures. If you like the chill, you love those sweaters, you can start pulling them back out again on Sunday and Monday. Again, Thursday, a slight chance of some showers early in the day. Right now, much of Friday looks dry, but overnight, we could see a few showers lingering into Saturday, and we'll see that rain on and off on Saturday. Coming up, we'll take another look at our computer model and walk you through the timeline for Saturday. It looks like we might have a few more showers into early next week as well, possibly Monday into Tuesday.
So our days in the 70s numbered for now. The price to insure your home is going up, but one group of homeowners is already paying more than double. Today at 4, 5 on Your Side explains who and how anyone can cut down on home insurance costs.
Then later at 6, we approach the one-year mark of the deadly mass shooting in a Raleigh neighborhood, and we remember the lives lost. Chelsea Donovan sits down with Tracy Howard, the husband of Nicole Connors, 1 year after her death.
Caleb, who do you choose as your coach?
A singer from Goldsboro moved across the country to pursue music. And after his audition on The Voice, you could say it's paying off. Find out which team Caleb Sasser joined later.
There may come a day when you no longer need a password to log into your Google account. The company is making passkeys the default option to unlock your devices. Google says it's safer and a faster alternative to passwords. Even if you lose your device, someone would need your biometric information or PIN number to log in.
Costco has just over 2 weeks to respond to a lawsuit that claims it shared customer information with Meta without asking for permission. The lawsuit claims Costco installed Meta's analytical tool called MetaPixel on its website, which can track user activity. The lawsuit blames the tool for handing over the information. The plaintiffs demanded a trial by jury to settle the dispute. They are also seeking financial damages and Costco to admit that their conduct was unlawful. Big news for Walmart employees. The retail giant announced it will close its stores for Thanksgiving this year. This marks the fourth straight year Walmart has shut down for the holiday. The CEO says he wants store associates to spend this special day with their families. Walmart is the first major retailer to announce it is closing for Thanksgiving this year. In past years, Target, Best Buy, and other major stores also closed their doors on the holiday.
The war between Israel and Hamas is prompting security upgrades across big cities in America. We'll show you what some mayors are doing to protect people.
Also, as the nation puts more electronic vehicles on the roads, union members are pushing for two major automakers to unionize. The reason behind the move at noon. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The conflict in Israel is causing a different kind of concern right here at home, with cities across our country on alert for potential anti-Semitic attacks on U.S. soil. Stephanie Goss takes a look at the extra measures being taken in some cities.
With the war raging in the Middle East, this morning the mayor of New York has the city on notice.
We have to be high alert. We cannot let our guards down.
With the threat of violence and possible lone wolf attacks, the NYPD has increased patrols and added shifts to secure Jewish places of worship.
New York stands with Israel!
At a pro-Israel rally Tuesday with speakers including New York Governor Kathy Hochul, the NYPD was taking no chances.
This is one of the largest pro-Israel rallies since the Hamas attacks. There are thousands of people here, but before they even showed up, police were here doing security sweeps.
The increased security measures spread across the country.
The Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Bureau of Investigation are working closely with state and local law enforcement and Jewish community partners.
The president adding there is no place in the United States for hate against anybody, Jews or Muslims. In L.A., police are patrolling Jewish communities. Pittsburgh, where a mass shooter killed 11 people at a synagogue in 2018, has also added patrols and beefed up its intelligence gathering. While Jewish leaders are calling on people to be vigilant.
Historically, it is known that anti-Israel violence equates to a huge increase in anti-Semitic actions in other areas.
Competing rallies can be flashpoints for confrontation, which is also playing out as a war of words on college campuses. Students at multiple universities across the country are being criticized for organizing protests against Israel in the wake of the attacks. At Harvard, a coalition of 34 student organizations released a letter Saturday that said they hold the Israeli regime entirely responsible for the unfolding violence. Under pressure for not responding, the university's president issued a statement Tuesday condemning Hamas and saying no student group speaks for Harvard.
And that was Stephanie Gosk reporting. We've just learned from the U.S. State Department that 22 Americans have died from the violence in Israel, that number up from the 14 we reported this morning. The bloody images and destruction caused by the war between Israel and Gaza are dominating social media, television, and everyday conversations. Traumatic events can cause a heightened sense of stress and anxiety. For children who haven't been exposed to accounts of the violence, experts say there's no need to talk to them about it. But for older kids who've heard about or seen violent things, experts advise parents to be proactive instead of waiting for them to come to you. It's okay to talk, even if you don't have answers to their questions.
Really, that's not what they need. Kids don't need a script. They need you to be in it with them and let them know they're not alone in it.
And if it all feels too overwhelming, take a break from the exposure to the violence. If you notice extreme changes in their behavior, that may be a sign that they're struggling, and it's a good time to seek help from a professional.
The father of the girl who was killed during Raleigh's Christmas parade last year is calling out Mayor Marianne Baldwin for initially canceling this year's event, claiming it was out of respect for his family. Haley Brooks' father, Trey Brooks, says he and his wife never wanted the parade canceled. Kelsey Coffey explains how Mr. Brooks says no one from the city even asked what they wanted.
Haley's dad says he was hurt and offended by how all of this played out. And it's quiet right now on Fayetteville Street, but in just over a month, the street will be packed for the city's 79th annual Christmas parade that was almost canceled. Last year, 11-year-old Haley Brooks was killed after she was struck by a pickup truck when she was in the parade. Her dad, Trey Brooks, spoke to city leaders last night, calling out Mayor Marianne Baldwin for initially canceling this year's parade. The mayor said they were canceling the event out of respect for Haley and her family, but Brooks claims the city didn't contact the family about their decision.
Since you did not reach out, I'm here to tell you what would honor Haley, and that would be to immediately enact comprehensive safety measures as well as procedures to make sure that they're being adhered to ensure the parade can be held safely.
After the meeting ended, the mayor said she was sorry for his loss and thanked him for his courage to speak. She says golf carts and horses will be allowed at this year's parade now that it's back on for November 18th, but cars and floats will still be prohibited. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Several people are out of their homes after a fire at an apartment complex in Fayetteville. It happened at the Summit Apartments on North Street around 11:30 last night. When firefighters got there, they found a two-story apartment building on fire with flames shooting out of the roof. Everyone was able to get out of that building safely. The Red Cross is helping those who lost their homes.
The town of Wake Forest is holding a job fair right now. Several town departments will be represented, including police, public works, parks, recreational, and cultural resources. If you are interested, you can stop by the event before 2 this afternoon. You still have a little bit of time. It's happening over at the Wake Forest Renaissance Center. That's on Southbrook Street. People who live in and visit Fayetteville are invited to do their part in keeping the city clean. Volunteers can now register for the Fall Fayetteville Beautiful event, November 11th. Hundreds participated in previous events, picking up litter along public streets and at local parks. To sign up, go to FayettevilleBeautiful.com.
Orange County school leaders are asking for the community's input as they try to find their next superintendent. People can weigh in with a new survey on the Orange County Schools website. Another survey will be available for staff. Those surveys must be completed by October 23rd, and the results will be presented at the board's November 6th meeting. The school board also hired a group to help in the superintendent search. What does the rise of electric vehicles mean for auto workers down the road? Why job security is a major concern.
And authorities were far from thrilled with this man's attempt at Spider-Man. Why he says he climbed a Chicago high-rise and what happened when he got to the top. Welcome back. We have cloudy skies and a breeze going there in Wilson. The whirly gigs are whirling there. 72 degrees, feeling very comfortable, and the rain will start to move in toward the evening commute and beyond. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. As the United Auto Workers strike rages on, union members are voicing concern about how the evolving future of electric vehicles could impact their job security.
Ted Lindner gives us a closer look at how union leaders are tackling those fears head on.
Striking United Auto Workers are showing no signs of slamming on the brakes. About 25,000 union members across Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis have been standing firmly on picket lines for roughly 4 weeks now, calling for higher wages and better benefits.
Over the last decade, the Big Three have made $250 billion in profits.
Job security is also a top priority, with some auto workers concerned about the rise of electric vehicles, citing how EVs require fewer parts to assemble than gas-powered cars and trucks.
An internal combustion engine has about 1,000 parts, whereas an electric motor only has about 50 parts. Ford's CEO has mentioned that 40% fewer workers are required to assemble an electric vehicle.
The union is also eyeing how investments for electric vehicle manufacturing are taking place across a number of right-to-work states.
Which means that employees do not have to pay union fees. Those investments, also fueled by federal dollars, are going to manufacturers and not necessarily the labor force.
It's partly why UAW leaders are asking Ford and Stellantis to allow their electric vehicle battery factories to unionize. General Motors agreed to the union's request last week.
That was Ted Lindner reporting. Meantime, the number of non-union factory workers being laid off by the Big Three automakers is mounting. Roughly 5,000 employees from all three companies have been laid off since the strike began.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, a 9-year-old transgender boy is suing North Carolina as well as a local doctor. They say that a new state law banning most types of medical care for transgender youth is unconstitutional. We have the story right now on WREL.com. The law, which passed earlier this year, bans medical treatments like puberty blockers and surgery for transgender people until they are at least 18. The law did pass with all Republicans in favor and nearly all Democrats opposed. Governor Roy Cooper, he did veto that law, but the legislator overrode that veto back in August. Again, you can read more about this on WREL.com.
Crocs unveils what may be its sweetest collaboration. How much this limited edition pair of clocks will cost you later.
I think we're losers, guys.
Yep, I think we've just officially lost the thing.
Yeah.
Well, it is still early in the season, but just wait until you hear the voice of a Goldsboro singer who earned a chair turn from all four judges. Wow, that was fast. The next winner of The Voice could be a contestant from Goldsboro.
And it's all because of you. It's all because of you.
Oh my. John Legend stands straight up out of his chair. All four judges turned their chairs. Caleb Sasser crooned his rendition of another sad love song by Tony Braxton. It was a hard sell from all the coaches, but when it came down to it, Caleb decided to go with Legend's team.
So after the making of the show, I was really excited. This is something that I've been trying to audition for and trying to make it to this level for years. I also was feeling like it was a dream and that I was going to wake up. So to actually be here is a blessing.
Wow, Caleb sang in his church choir with his mom, dad, and sisters. He then studied music at UNC Pembroke, where he met his girlfriend, DeAndrea, who is an opera singer. Well, now he teaches voice and piano to middle school students in Los Angeles. What an amazing voice, huh?
Oh, that lyrical run was so cool to listen to. And he says that he chose John Legend because he's been a big fan of Legend's for years and just wants to learn from him and how he writes and the whole creative process. So that's going to be a great collaboration. Can't wait to follow his journey. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with this journey towards some rain moving into the area.
Oh, we definitely need some rain. It's been a few weeks since we had a lot of measurable rain, and it's starting to dry out a little bit across our area, but we're not looking at a lot of rain out of this first system that we'll see tonight and early tomorrow, but we'll have another chance over the weekend, of course, when folks are hoping to be outside. We do have mostly cloudy skies, and there's a little sun trying to peek through some high clouds there in Goldsboro, but we're mostly cloudy here in Apex and in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and in Fayetteville, it looks fairly gray there as well, and we'll just continue to see the clouds thickening up. We have this low pressure system that's developing in the Gulf of Mexico. It's not a tropical system. It is the same one that we were talking about a day or two ago that looked like it might become tropical, but it no longer looks like that. However, it is going to pull a lot of moisture from the Gulf, bringing a lot of heavy rain to parts of the deep south, but it is headed in that direction. That means it's just going to clip North Carolina a little bit, and we're not going to get into really that juicy part of this system. We may end up with a few isolated showers as early as 5 or 6 o'clock. Most of that could end up evaporating because of our dry air mass, but we'll continue to see the waves moving through this evening. So again, if you're headed out to the Canes this evening, as you come out of the PNC Arena, you may see a little bit of light patchy rain. And right before the whole system slides eastward, it may become a little heavier from Fayetteville to Clinton, maybe over toward Goldsboro. So we could see some measurable rain there. But from Raleigh northward, we're probably going to see maybe a tenth of an inch, a quarter of an inch, probably not much more than that. And it is out of here in time for the gates to open at the State Fair. It should be a nice dry afternoon for us in the Triangle, while we may be dealing with some showers in our southern counties for a little longer during the day. Saturday, we have a warm front and then a cold front that'll come through. Both of those keep that chance of showers in place. We give it another 24, 48 hours. We're going to get some new runs of the computer models, those high-resolution models, which will help us to time out that rain for you in a little bit more detail Saturday. Right now, it looks like we could have some scattered showers on and off for the bulk of the day. This is the system riding through today. Look at this heavy rain here along the coast this evening and overnight tonight, but you can see how all that heaviest rain in the yellows and reds stays well to our east. And we'll likely be dry on Friday. We do have another disturbance that's going to swing through and potentially, along with that warm front, bring us a few showers in the morning Saturday, followed by the cold front, which would keep that chance of showers going. We'll likely clear on Sunday. Sunday morning, we may wake up to some sunshine, but potentially cloud over a little bit Sunday afternoon. Still, it looks like it should stay dry for us on Sunday. So some scattered showers tomorrow morning, especially in our southern counties. And then another chance for some rain during the day on Saturday. So the first 3 days of the fair look good. Thursday, 77 with increasing sunshine through the afternoon. Partly cloudy Friday and 78. And it's Saturday that we'll have that chance for rain. But Sunday behind that looks dry. We had a new tropical storm develop this morning at 5 a.m. The 5 a.m. advisory is moving northwest at 13 miles per hour, 40 mile per hour winds. It's likely to start to curve to the north and west, but it's going to stay out to sea, not affecting land, and it will dissipate by the time we get to early next week. Checking temperatures, we're in the 70s until Saturday, and then we get into the chill again next week with overnight lows in the 40s and highs only in the low 60s Monday and Tuesday.
Elizabeth, thanks. Halloween is just around the corner, but would you rock a pair of chocolate-themed Crocs? How you can make your feet look sweet.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The former Granville County Sheriff, already serving prison time for falsifying training records, will spend even more time behind bars. Brindell Wilkins pleaded guilty today to four additional felonies and two misdemeanors. Wilkins was elected three times in Granville County. He's expected to stay in jail until at least next September.
A 9-year-old transgender boy is suing North Carolina along with a local doctor and several LGBTQ rights groups. They say a new law, state law, banning many types of medical care for transgender youth is unconstitutional. The law bans medical treatments like puberty blockers, surgery, and other gender-affirming care for transgender people until they're at least 18 years old.
House Republicans are meeting behind closed doors to pick a nominee to be the next speaker. Right now, neither House Majority Leader Steve Scalise nor Representative Jim Jordan have locked down the 217 votes necessary to be elected speaker by a majority vote for the full chamber. Until the speaker is elected, the House remains effectively paralyzed.
Parents from Utah have sparked an online debate after introducing the Switch Witch concept to their followers. Health coach Levi Jensen posted this video to Instagram about Halloween candy rationing that's gained millions of views. In it, she explains she allows her 2-year-old daughter to pick 5 pieces of candy to keep out of her trick-or-treat bag. She then puts the rest of the candy on the porch, and then when her daughter is sleeping, the Switch Witch replaces that candy bag with a toy. Some people online like the idea, others not so impressed.
Deal like this. Crocs is teaming up with Hershey's to deliver a limited edition themed shoe. These clogs are based on the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and the classic Hershey's Chocolate Bar. The Reese's version is a vibrant orange, while the Hershey's version is solid brown. Both are available on Crocs' website as well as footlocker.com. The Reese's clog will cost you $55. The Hershey's are $65. Charges are pending against a man who scaled a 40-story building in Chicago without a harness. The man is known as Pro-Life Spider-Man on social media and reportedly did it to raise money for an expecting mother. He was arrested and soon charged or reached the top of that Accenture Tower where the authority got him. This is the 8th time he's climbed a high-rise for a cause.
Our pets of the day are a dynamic duo from Cat Angels NC. Rusty is an incredibly handsome 2-year-old boy seeking his forever home with his BFF, Molly. He quickly warms up to new people and loves sunning on a windowsill, brushing, and pets. 4-year-old Molly can be shy at first, but once she warms up to you, she loves brushing sessions and belly rubs. Both love treats, wet food, and snuggling together. If you'd like to meet them in person, just fill out an application on the Cat Angels website.
Coming up at 4, the price to insure your home is going up, but one group of homeowners is already paying more than double. 5 on Your Side explains who and how anyone can cut down on home insurance costs. Before the clouds roll in too far, you might want to get outside and enjoy some of these mild temperatures here because rain is on the way tonight. NBC News Daily is up next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And our meteorologist will be tracking that rain once it moves in. Could be in time for the evening commute. You can, of course, get breaking news updates anytime on WRAL.com and on our news app.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.